This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raiders podcast, playoff edition. I'm your host, JT. Good to have you. Happy New Year. Hope you're ready to roll as the Silver and Black open up the postseason this Saturday in Houston against the Texans. Winner move forward, loser go home, and the Raiders really need to put that loss on New Year's Day by the hands of the Denver Broncos behind them and quickly turn it around to get up to take on the Texans, a team that won the AFC South and a team that is ready to play. For the Raiders, before we get to this, and we'll have Eric Mangini on, former head coach, now a lead football analyst with Fox Sports 1, and then Alex Marvez, who is fantastic, knows the Raider roster and the team as good as anybody I interview nationally. We got to start off by looking back on the Raiders season. They end the regular season with a loss, but end up 12-4 on the year and begin their postseason run in the wild card playoff game as the 5 seed. You know, going into that Denver game, the goal was to win it, secure the 2 seed. They were actually in a position before the day started to play for the 1 seed, and the Raiders just didn't play well. They played, in my opinion, their worst game of the year in a really big spot against the Denver Broncos. And, you know, give Denver credit. It was Gary Kubiak's last game. I think the players obviously knew that. They dominated the game, winning 24-6. Matt McGloin, who I expected a little bit more out of, didn't start off well and got injured in that game. And then Connor Cook came in to play. As we record this podcast, Jack Del Rio has not made the decision on the starting quarterback in this game. And I understand that, and I don't think he should tip his hand because he's playing with backup quarterbacks. Connor Cook has not started a game, let alone a playoff game. So the Raiders are in a tough spot. On Tuesday, Houston announced that Brock Osweiler will be the starter for this game. And Osweiler's had a lot of highs and lows this year for the Houston Texans. He was brought in as a high-paid free agent. He hasn't lived up to the hype. He was benched. Now that Savage got hurt, he comes in again to play. So I hope this plays into the hands of the Raiders. They'll have an opportunity to play a quarterback in Osweiler who has struggled for most of the season. But the Raiders are still dealing with life after Derek Carr. And that's going to be the key here with Derek Carr gone, how the Raiders rally behind either Cook or McGloin or McGloin and Cook and play well and at least get off to a quicker start than the way they played in Denver. Coming into this game, you look at the Texans, they struggle on offense. They're ranked 29th overall. The Raiders are 6th. But when it comes to rush offense, the Raiders are 6th at 120 a game and the Texans are 8th at 116. So they're very similar. But what should be concerning is that the Texans have the number one ranked total defense, only giving up 301 yards a game. And when it comes to their pass defense, 2nd overall, and you look at this, and Denver's eliminated, so they're number one left in the postseason, giving up, and this is incredible, this stat, 201 yards a game. So the Raiders just struggled against, in the regular season, what was the number one pass defense in Denver. And now they go into the postseason playing the best pass defense out there. So the Raiders are going to really have to rock in this game. And if they're going to throw the ball, they have to make sure that they're efficient in the short passing game and take their shots. Fortunately for the Raiders, they're still tied for number one with turnover ratio at plus 16. And the Texans are minus 7, and that ranks them 26th. But you want to hear another crazy stat? Raiders, dead last in the NFL, ranked 32nd in penalties with 147. Houston, number one with only 87 penalties. That is about as big of a disparity as you can get, 1-32. So clearly we know the Raiders have to play a clean game. They have to run the football. They can't get in obvious passing predicaments in this game. And they just got to hope that they get to Osweiler and put him down, because I think that's going to be a really important aspect of this game, is how they're able to step up and play well under pressure. And for the Raiders, look, they had a really good year at 12-4. A lot of people had them at 9 or 10 wins. They exceeded that. But now that Derek Carr went down, the playoffs aren't supposed to go down with it. The Raiders are pros. They're expected to win this game. And Jack Del Rio will have them ready. They weren't ready to expectations at Denver. You know that they'll be ready for this one, and they got to start fast, get the crowd out of the game. And if they win this, we reset. We continue to talk about the future and the upcoming opponent. But they got to beat the Houston Texans, a team that I think is a little bit better a little bit better than the Raider team that beat the Texans in Mexico City. They're going to have their work cut out here, especially on the road. Our first guest joining us is now a lead football analyst with Fox Sports 1 and a former head coach, former AFC Coach of the Year, Eric Mangini, joins us on the official Raiders podcast. And Coach, before we get into this Raiders game coming up against the Houston Texans, I want to go back to the Raiders' loss at Denver with Gary Kubiak announcing his retirement or stepping away. Did the Raiders just walk into a buzzsaw because Denver didn't have a lot to play for and they dominated that game?
Well, it's really a couple things. When you're Denver and you're as proud as they are playing that last game of the season, you know you have a chance to maybe take somebody down with you. There's an element of that for guys going into the last game of the season. So I think that was definitely a big component of it. And for Oakland, they're trying to figure out life after Carr. And there's a letdown there as well, and there's a learning process that goes into operating the team, operating the offense, everything involved when you lose your quarterback. So it's a combination of Denver wanting to end the season correctly and also dish out a little punishment on their way out, and then Oakland trying to deal with the loss of Carr and the emotional letdown that comes with that.
Coach, in your long career as an assistant, as a coordinator, as a head coach, have you experienced something similar to the situation the Raiders are in after the Carr injury, McGloin, and possibly having to get Connor Cook, who's never started a game, let alone a playoff game, ready to go?
Not to that degree. We went through the transition, obviously, from Bledsoe to Brady, which worked out pretty well. But in the playoffs, we're playing Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, and Tom got hurt deep in the playoffs, and Bledsoe came in and threw a touchdown. So it's different, but that was the one injury situation late in the playoffs that I experienced. I tell you, though, watching Connor Cook last week, there should be some optimism in Oakland. I thought he came in and played pretty well. He had the one interception that was a little bit overthrown, but there's a bunch of plays there for a guy that hasn't played that he made. That I thought, okay, this changes the picture a little bit. I thought he played with poise. It didn't look like things were disorganized. It didn't look like it was too big for him. I tell Raiders fans that there's some encouraging, really encouraging stuff on tape from last week.
Eric Mangini is our guest. Also, Coach, when it comes to a culture and that culture that you were a part of, obviously with the Ravens and the Jets and the Patriots, all the success you had in New England, when a team is fighting for a 2 seed over a 5 seed, or if there's a letdown, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a wild card playoff game, what's the message that comes from the coaching staff to the players who were trying to get so high the way the Raiders were to get that bye week in the 2 seed, and then boom, all of a sudden they're on the road taking on the Texans?
Well, the great thing about that is there's no time to really wallow in self-pity. There's no time to spend on anything besides getting ready for the next game. And the other great thing about the playoffs is you have everybody's attention. Everybody is doing all they possibly can. And I know you're thinking, your fans may be thinking, well, shouldn't that be the case every week? It's not the case every week. It's a long season. But when you're in the playoffs, everybody is dialed in. They're not worried about the Denver game. That has nothing to do with what's happening this week. They're just all pushing ahead as hard as they possibly can to win that next game. Is it frustrating? The loss is incredibly frustrating. Have what they've gone through lately, is it disappointing? Yeah, but there's still a group of men there that have a chance to do something special, and there's a lot of talent in other areas too, and they're not going to let this opportunity slip away.
Eric Mangini, kind enough to join us on the official Raiders podcast as we get ready for the Houston Texans coming up on Saturday. Coach, your opinion when Brock Osweiler was named the starter again there and some of the problems that has existed to him early in his career in Houston. Do you believe when the deal went down that he deserved that type of money to go with Bill O'Brien and that they failed him or he failed the organization because he just hasn't lived up to the hype yet?
Well, there's nothing free about free agency. You're going to overpay. You're going to overpay dramatically in free agency. That's just the nature of what it is. And you may not want to pay a guy X amount of dollars, but that's what it's going to take to get him on your team. Now, that doesn't because you pay someone more money, it doesn't make him a better player. It doesn't make him a more experienced player. It may add expectations. It usually does add expectations. Typically, my experience with free agents in the first year that they're with a team, it isn't necessarily the player that you saw at the other team. It takes them a while to get used to their new team, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating as a coach. It's frustrating as an organization, but it's just the way it typically works. In terms of him failing, I don't think we can say this is a success or a failure for a couple of years. You got to see how it plays out. You got to see how guys grow. You got to see how they develop. There's a very quick rush to judgment, whether it's on draft picks or free agencies. And typically a guy that pops early will have some sort of fallback. A guy that maybe is slow developing suddenly hits. So we got to give this some time.
Are you surprised to see Houston has the number one net yards defense without J.J. Watt? You know Romeo Crennel well, the principles of this defense and how they're ready to play at such a high level. Coach, what do they do that's so good? Are they just consistent because they only give up 99-plus yards in the running game, 200 in the passing game? They don't seem to be brilliant at anything, but they do everything really well. Is that fair?
Yeah, to me, that's the key to playing good defense, playing good football. Most games in the NFL are lost. They aren't won. So if you can eliminate self-inflicted wounds, if you can play good, consistent defense, you don't have to jump off the page in any one area. You've got to be good and solid and in all the different areas. And the thing that Romeo and that staff, I'm sure, does is they play smart football. And they collect smart football players, and they play team football, and it's not a function of, did I get the sack, did you get the sack? It's a function of, okay, what do we have to do to win this game this week? And everybody playing their role and doing their part to get to that point. And to me, that's the mark of a good defense, a good offense, a good team, and something that New England's done really well for years.
Wrapping it up with Eric Mangini. He's doing a tremendous job as a new addition to Fox Sports 1 as a football analyst. Coach, Khalil Mack and what you've seen so far from early in your career when you started and knew and saw the film of Lawrence Taylor to Ray Lewis to all the great players on defense, what does the Raider Nation have to look forward to with Mack when it comes to his growth and getting him to evolve and continue to become a better football player?
Well, the first thing is you don't want to tag those guys with too lofty labels too early. Sometimes that can put really unfair expectations on them, and it's hard to live up to a guy like Lawrence Taylor or Ray Lewis. What I like about Khalil is he has ability as a pass rusher, especially from speed to power. His transition from a speed rush where he can get the edge and the offensive lineman sits light in his stance to then powering that same player back into the quarterback. I like that aspect of his pass rush game. What I like more about him is his ability to set the edge in the running game, which I think has been very impressive. He's a stout force in the running game, and there's very few elite pass rushers that are good run players. And that would be the most exciting thing to me as a defensive coordinator or as a head coach. You can oftentimes run at pass rushers, at guys that, you know, that's all they do. You can't run at Mack like that. If anything, you want to run away from him because he's so disruptive in that aspect of the game.
Hey, Coach, on a personal note, with your three Super Bowls, you were the AFC Coach of the Year in 2006. Do you have an Al Davis story? Because I look at this long career as you came in as a Browns assistant in 95, and everyone remembers that staff from a football life of the Cleveland Browns. Were you ever in consideration? Did you talk to Mr. Davis? Because you went to the 49ers recently. Was Oakland ever on your map?
Yeah, you know, he had invited me out to interview for the defensive coordinator job at one point, and he and I got to know each other pretty well through those conversations. And I would talk to him a lot of different times. And, you know, I was always on West Coast time, so you may get a call really late in the evening on the East Coast from Mr. Davis's secretary. He was great. He was great to talk to. He understood all aspects of defense, and from when I was a head coach, we could talk through things from a head coaching perspective, and he's a wealth of knowledge. And he asked a ton of questions, which you respect because he was trying to improve his knowledge base regardless of how old he was. You know, as he got older, I think he became more inquisitive. I always enjoyed my conversations with him, and I was always really impressed with how much he knew. It's rare. It's rare for anybody in football to know what he knew.
Yeah, we share a lot of those stories with all our insiders and celebrities who come on, and I always ask a Mr. Davis story, because when you did get those phone calls, and you were a guy also, your connection to Bill Belichick or Bill Parcells, it's kind of cool, huh, Coach, when you get those calls from Hall of Famers and they want to keep you on the line and pick your brain because they have so much respect for what you know.
It was an honor, and it was an honor when he asked me to come out there as well. It just didn't work out at that point in my life, but I did appreciate the friendship and the relationship, and in terms of respect for someone who worked at his craft year in and year out. And I know he may have some detractors and some guys that feel differently. I couldn't be more impressed with his work ethic and his intelligence.
Hey, finally, last question. When you get up early for Undisputed with Skip and Shannon and you get right there, you got a lot thrown at you there. It's fast paced. How do you like the transition now to TV, especially you're on so many different platforms for Fox and Fox Sports One? As Fox has the Super Bowl this year, there'll be a lot of coverage down in Houston that I'm sure you're going to be a big part of.
It's fun. You know, it's not quite as stressful as game day is. And I do like the ability to. I never found myself being the guy that's going to say, you need to blame this person or that person. I don't want to be that guy. I want to say, this is what happened. This is what the thought process was. And now you as a fan, and so many fans are really well-versed on what's happening. You as a fan, you can decide whether or not you agree with the decision-making. I just want to take you through what the thought process was, what the alternatives were, what went into it, and then you decide, you know, how you feel about that afterwards.
Congratulations, Coach, on your success. We really appreciate you joining us, especially with the short week, with the wild card weekend starting off. We'll see you down in Houston at the Super Bowl. Appreciate your time.
All right, sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you. There he is, Eric Mangini, now with Fox Sports One, and he's really good. He's another guy that we've had this year on the official Raiders podcast that I like because they can do the deep dive quickly on the opponent. And that brings me to our next guest, who's one of my favorites. I have him on the Mount Rushmore of my guest, Alex Marvez from Sirius XM, the NFL channel. He's also with Sporting News, and he knows the Raiders as good as anybody that I interview nationally. He joins us on the official Raiders podcast. And Alex, when I saw you with Gil Brandt, we were up in Napa for the preseason, 12-4 for the Silver and Black as the season wraps up. That's pretty special.
Yeah, you're right about that, JT. You know, and at some point, Raiders fans are going to take a look back and realize what a special season this has been. You know, coming so close to winning the AFC West, winning 12 games, getting back into the playoffs for the first time since 2002, and also being on solid footing for years to come. I mean, you just love the direction that this team is headed. It's just unfortunate what has happened with Derek Carr, but of course, the season not over, and I'm going to be very curious to see what type of Raiders effort that we get on Saturday against an offensively challenged Houston Texans team. In fact, JT, right now, you have ties with the Raiders organization. I'll work on my ties with the Texans. First team that scores wins. Let's just get it over with, and we'll go from there.
I would agree. That would be a good way. Maybe the Raiders can run it down their throat and get an early touchdown. Going back to what happened in Denver, how did you see it with your analysis, not being ready to play? Denver comes out and scores. McGloin clearly wasn't sharp. That's a compliment for me to him. He gets hurt. He's out of the game. Cook comes in, but it just didn't look like the Raiders were able to capture what they needed to do energy-wise, discipline-wise, on defense to be in a game against a Bronco team that didn't have the playoffs to play for.
I know. That's the tough part. But I'll tell you this, too. You know, think about it like this. If Gary Kubiak were coming back for another year, would the Broncos have been a little bit different? Would they have been charged up about this game? You know, they liked Gary Kubiak. They liked him a whole heck of a lot, and they weren't oblivious to the report that this was going to be Gary's last game. And suddenly, you started feeling this tidal wave of emotion going on in Denver, and players in a game that they may not have cared about before suddenly started to care a little bit more, if you know what I mean. So I thought that. I thought the Aqib Talib actions are pretty reprehensible, but I don't expect anything less from Aqib Talib. But, you know, yanking on Michael Crabtree's chain, I thought that was, you know, something a little bit shocking that you know, sort of maybe it just set the tempo for that day where the Denver Broncos were the bullies. Let's just put it like that. And I think, though, this is a performance that you can rebound from, and it's an eye-opener. Sometimes you need one of these games, and I hate to say it like that, but this, if there is an extra preparation this week in Oakland and guys that are saying, hey, we cannot go out like this. We have to do everything we can to fight to win this game against Houston, and we'll worry about the playoff, the next opponent after that. But to concentrate on this, then that's a sad indictment. This is where the team leaders have to step up and really make sure that everybody's focus is on point. That I don't feel that was the case last week for whatever reason.
Alex Marvez is with us. When you were with Gil Brandt in Napa covering the Raiders, and obviously Connor Cook was drafted and the Raiders clearly wanted him, what went through your mind? And the follow-up would be, do you believe with his size and strength that if he is the starter or if he gets real playing time against the Texans that he could step up and play well on a spot like this?
We're talking Connor Cook.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I look, the reality was this. When we weren't there to see him. And it was an unfortunate situation, JT, because that was when his teammate, the Michigan State punter, had passed away in a car accident. So Connor wasn't at camp. He was excused to attend the funeral, and one can understand that. That was a close friend of his. And so we never really, you know, I wasn't able to pick Gil's brain on what he saw from the young man. Look, it's completely unfair to expect much from Connor Cook. You know, even Jacoby Brissett, right, and we'll use him as an example. When the Patriots played the Texans in Week 3 and he was thrown in early in his rookie career, you know, he had a tremendous game plan, and they were able to stake an early lead because they made impact plays on special teams and on defense. Where are we going to see that from the Raiders? Are we going to see a return for a touchdown? Are we going to see an interception? Are we going to see a sack and strip? Are we going to see a forced fumble? I mean, are they going to do something to give Connor Cook a little momentum? Because if you remember that game with Brissett, and I really feel like he might be the best, you know, launching point to have this conversation because he's surrounded by a good team. You know, they went up 10-0, and essentially the game was over. You just had that feeling that the Texans, incidentally, the same team the Raiders are playing Saturday, just didn't have enough firepower to come back and win this game. Well, I think you may need 10 points, even with Brock Osweiler, a quarterback, to win this game, but do something to elevate Connor Cook. And I think Jack Del Rio, he said it himself during his news conference earlier this week that, look, we got to run the football better. And when you've got an offensive line with 3 Pro Bowl players, the heaviest offensive line in football, I mean, you should be able to mash it out some. And that was probably the biggest surprise to me last week was the fact that this team didn't run the football more effectively against the Broncos. Maybe because Denver could play so out, you know, they knew that if they could just stop the run, the Raiders would struggle to do some things in the passing game. But, man, they've got to be able to do some stuff on the ground this week if they're going to have a chance to succeed, because I just don't know about Connor Cook. I do know this, when I talked to Reggie McKenzie, JT, about 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's fait accompli that Matt McGloin is going to be leaving in free agency. And Reggie knows that. And I think what his plan is going to be, because Derek Carr is entrenched as the long-term starter, and of course he'll be paid accordingly sooner than later, but what I think you're going to end up seeing is a formula similar to what Reggie learned with Green Bay and one that New England does. You're going to draft quarterbacks, you're going to take him in the middle rounds, maybe as high as the second round, whatever it is that you need to do if you like a guy, and then you're going to sit him behind Derek Carr, and then you're going to end up, hopefully, if you either lose him in free agency, get a high compensatory pick, or be able to trade that player for something like the Patriots are probably going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's a good long-term system. It's just unfair to expect much from Connor Cook right now because he hasn't played. In fact, it was Donald Penn told Vic Tate for the San Francisco Chronicle that he had never heard him in the huddle before. Connor Cook, he'd never taken even a snap with the first team offense this entire season. So to expect Connor to come in and light things up, it just doesn't work that way. This isn't the movies.
Alex Marvez joins us. How is Houston number one overall in net yards on defense without J.J. Watt?
Ah, Jadeveon Clowney has really stepped up, and they have made Jadeveon into J.J. Watt. They've moved him around the field, and Jadeveon's been able to stay healthy for the first time. I think that's a big part of it. You know, A.J. Bouye is a guy that you need to keep your eye on. This guy is going to get paid, JT. I don't know if it's going to be by the Texans, but he has come up as a difference-making cornerback. Whitney Mercilus is an awfully good pass rusher, and I just think Romeo Crennel, in fact, you know, JT, I was just filling out my Associated Press ballot for the awards. He's going to get my Assistant Coach of the Year award, and I say that because you look at the offensive support. It's one thing for Rod Marinelli in Dallas, who's done a great job, you know, with lesser talent. But, you know, when you're not on the field and you're not stressed as much as this Texans defense is because your offense is doing well, that's one thing. What Romeo Crennel's been able to do, he has carried Bill O'Brien into the playoffs now for a couple of seasons. He really has. And that's why when Jay Glazer of Fox reported, hey, you know, Bill O'Brien, don't be surprised if this team loses to the Raiders, if he's one of those surprise hirings, I had heard whispers about that about 3 weeks ago, and what was – I didn't have enough to get to roll with it like Jay. I don't want to, trust me, disparage his report or say anything like that. Jay's the absolute best. He's one of my best friends. But the thing is that, you know, the disappointment in the building in Houston comes from the problems at quarterback. They believe that Brock Osweiler can be a better quarterback than what Bill O'Brien is getting out of him. And, you know, we've gone through how many quarterbacks now in Houston? And Bill O'Brien's been 9-7 every year, and that's all well and good. But the reality is that this team with that type of defense should be even better. It's almost like you're seeing the redo of the Baltimore Ravens, a team that, you know, had great defenses that carried the team while the offense sputtered. Brian Billick lasted a while, got one Super Bowl out of it, ultimately got canned because he could never develop a quarterback. That's how it went.
Wrapping it up with Alex Marvez, that's really important, that information, in your opinion, because the Raiders ran into a buzzsaw once Gary Kubiak and everyone realized he was leaving and the way that team rallied and the energy that the Broncos played with. What about the Texans? It is surfacing locally in that market, and we're talking about it, the fact that they could be fighting for the coach or not. For Bill O'Brien, is this a must-win game against the Oakland Raiders if he wants to keep his job?
I think there's one guy who knows that, and I think he's going to remain tight-lipped, and that is the owner of the team, Bob McNair. And Bob has the patience of a saint. He really does. But, you know, Bob's getting up in years now, and he bought this franchise in 2002. And, JT, it used to be, are the Texans ever going to win a playoff game? Now is it, are they ever going to reach a championship game? You know, because let's be real here. The team that wins this game probably isn't going to be going much further. I think it's great to win a playoff game and take a puncher's chance. You never know what happens. You got to play the second-round game. But these teams are probably reaching the end of the line after this game on Saturday. That's just the reality of it. Is that good enough for Bob McNair? Does he think, no, are my front office, the ones who paid $37 million guaranteed on a $72 million contract to Brock Osweiler, they're the ones who screwed up. And Bill O'Brien's not at fault here because Brock Osweiler can't develop. That's a little bit of a tough pill to swallow because of how much Bob McNair is loyal to Rick Smith, the general manager. So I don't think all is well with the Houston Texans, but if they win on Saturday, not sure if they would go through and really go ahead and fire Bill O'Brien, but they would expect more utility from Brock Osweiler in the offseason.
Last question, what's the one message that Jack Del Rio needs to give that to that entire roster to have them ready to play? They weren't ready against Denver. What does his motivational speech sound like as they break through the locker room to start that game in Houston?
Just do what you would do if Derek was here. I really, that's it. And concentrate on what you're doing. Don't try to overcompensate because Derek Carr is not your quarterback. And the shell shock is over. That's why I think, you know, in a way, it was good to get Week 17 done. Right? And look, it sucks to not win the division. I get that and all the things that means. But, JT, if these guys just are able to each individually do their job, and I'm borrowing a page from Bill Belichick here, they can be the Houston Texans. This is not the impossible dream, Man of La Mancha type of stuff. This is actually true. The Raiders can win this game, but they have to run the football. They have to create some turnovers on defense or on special teams. These guys need to play the game of their lives. And you know what? It's very possible.
You're unbelievable. Unbelievable analysis. Thank you, my friend. Happy New Year.
For you, JT, anytime. Be good.
Thank you. Alex Marvez. Thanks for joining us on this playoff edition of the Official Raiders Podcast. On a personal note, this is what we want. We want to be hosting podcasts when the Raiders are alive in the postseason, and that's what the core message was this year. Get this franchise back on track where they go to the playoffs every year, and now the Raiders get their shot to win a playoff game. Hopefully they beat the Texans and get ready for the next round. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT the Brick. Happy New Year, and let's hope the Raiders get out of Texas with a win. We'll talk to you next week on the Official Raiders Podcast.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.